Attende, Domine, et miserere, quia peccavimus tibi.
He went down with them then and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. This passage from Scripture summarizes the mystery of the Holy Family, and today we celebrate a solemnity in the Church that is often passed over very quickly, coming as it often does during the season of Lent, but it is a solemnity that has taken on a very profound significance in the Church. Indeed, it is a solemnity that has a dignity all its own, and in a certain sense, it surpasses other dignities of our faith, not in the sense that it is greater than them, that is, the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her divine maternity, the incarnation of our Lord, his passion and death. But in celebrating the solemnity of Saint Joseph, the husband of Mary, we celebrate him who is the protector of all these mysteries. And so we celebrate that saint who is so much needed in our time and on our day and in our age, Saint Joseph, the husband of Mary. For by that title, Saint Joseph gains all his prerogatives. If God foresaw for all eternity and chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of the Savior, then after that he chose Saint Joseph to be the spouse of the spouse of the Holy Spirit and the human father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so Saint Joseph was elevated to a dignity that we can only begin to imagine in this life. If Peter, when he was Simon, was chosen and set aside by God and was given an examination, a threefold examination, in which he proved his steadfast love for the Savior, was entrusted with the church, with the feeding of the flock, what must have been the dignity of the man who was chosen by the Eternal Father to feed the sheep, but to feed the Good Shepherd himself, not to be the vicar of the church, but to be the human father of the Lord and Savior of this world himself. And so, in this day and age when so many truths of our holy faith is assailed, we must turn to him who is truly the protector of them, because he was the protector of the mystery of Christ and Mary. And especially in this day and age in which we are assailed with all sorts of blasphemous attacks on our faith, and we are supposed to sit down and remain silent because they are often couched in a sort of pseudoscience, the latest being the traditional dusting off of some documentary in the name of science that reputes to refute the most profound mysteries of our faith. And so we are confronted with the latest endeavor by the media to destroy the truths of the faith. We are told that we have now found the tomb of Jesus, and we can even examine the fragments of the bone left in the sarcophagus that has the name Jesus, son of Joseph. And yet we know full well that we cannot find the bones of Christ in this life, because those bones exist in their glory in heaven. And so we know that this is merely an attempt to destroy the very basis of our faith. A very basis of our faith is a belief in the resurrection. And we don't often reflect that Saint Joseph is the most profound defender of this belief. He defends all the mysteries of our faith. He defends the incarnation itself. He defends the divine maternity. He is the witness to the perpetual virginity of the Mother of God. He is the defender of the mystery at Bethlehem. He is the one chosen by Almighty God, not an angel or not a legion of angels, but Saint Joseph himself, chosen to defend the Holy Family when Herod seeks to destroy him. And there are many Herods in our day and age, and often they have the same position that Herod had, leaders of nations, and they are simply trying to lead nations away from the Christ child. Saint Joseph, being the defender of the Christ child, is also the defender of our faith. He is not merely, as it were, someone given to us in order to simply edify our feelings and our emotions, but he is the defender of the vicar of Christ. He is the defender of the prerogatives of the church, and so we must turn to him in this day and age in which the mysteries of our faith are so assailed. in which the Savior is assailed, in which the prerogatives of the Mother of God are called into question, and there is one man and one man only who stands as the patron and protector of Holy Mother Church and of the Holy Family. That is the same man who had the same titles in the Holy Family, the model and exemplar of all true family life. In Saint Joseph, we have, as some authors postulate, the aggregate of all virtues. If God were to take every man and were able to put them in one spot, and we know full well that God is able to do so, from the time of Adam until the time of the Antichrist, until the final time, if every man was taken by God and put in a single spot, and he were to peruse them, to look over them, he would choose Saint Joseph to be the father of the Holy Family, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so we can only imagine the dignity to which God had raised him. We can only imagine the grace with which God has clothed him. But God is never outdone, and when he calls a man to a sublime mystery, to a sublime dignity, he clothes them with the graces necessary to fulfill that dignity. And the title Saint Joseph has in the Holy Family is the same title he exercises over the Church. He is the universal patron and protector of the Church and of the family, and we must turn to him. For in Saint Joseph we have the defender of true marriage in a society that seeks to define marriage, because in Saint Joseph we have a defender of the supernatural reality of marriage, not simply the natural as it is understood by the secular movement, i.e. some form of thing you do in order to indulge yourself in the most vile of all vices, and by doing so you give it some sort of justification. Saint Joseph stands as a paragon of virtue, contrary to the attempts of society to redefine the very heart of society, that is, the family unit. Saint Joseph is the one who points out to all men that they are not to abandon their fathers, as one Catholic psychologist points out, ADD is simply, as it were, the absent dad dilemma. Saint Joseph was never absent. He always fulfilled to the highest degree his role as husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary and father of the Savior of mankind. And so we must turn to him, for he is the defender of the family as God constitutes the family, not as man tries to rearrange it and to redefine it. And we must understand this in its significance. It is not simply a thing in which people, with good intention or bad intention, to try to redefine the family according to secular principles and secular ideals in order to justify the most vile of vices is not merely a bad thing to do. It is almost the highest form of public blasphemy that a culture can engage itself in. And so we must turn to Blessed Joseph so that he may truly defend the family, which is on the brink of collapsing. And if the family collapses, all of society collapses. Literally speaking, if the family collapses as God defines it, then, as it were, all hell truly will break loose in society. And if we think that the violence we have perpetrated upon each other is great at this present moment, and it truly is, it will be nothing if we allow society to redefine marriage. And so we must turn to Saint Joseph, that the defender of the prerogatives of Mary, because he was the spouse of the Holy Spirit and the human father of Jesus Christ, not simply in word, as many saints point out. Saint Jerome, Saint Peter Julian Ahmad, and others point out that Joseph is truly a father because he does for the Christ child what a father does. And so we must learn from Saint Joseph all that fatherhood truly is in its human form, because it is merely a reflection of the divine fatherhood of our Lord, of God our Father. And so Saint Joseph is the one man who perfectly conforms to the fatherhood of God. And so we must turn to him so that he may defend the family, that he may defend humanity from the assaults. We know full well that in the Catholic understanding of marriage, the possessions of one is not divided on a 50-50 basis, as modern society says, but what one spouse has, the other spouse's spouse has. And in this relationship, Our Lady has the most special of all things, and she gives that gift entirely to her spouse, Saint Joseph, that is, the Christ child. And so, Saint Joseph participates in the fattening up of the lamb for slaughter. That is so wonderfully depicted in the statue of Saint Joseph that we are blessed to have in this friary, a unique statue, because often the statues of Saint Joseph are depicted with him holding the Christ child with the world. But in this statue, Saint Joseph is depicted as protecting Christ as he shows great affection for the cross that he will embrace for humanity, and Saint Joseph is protecting him in that mystery so that he enters into that mystery in the time appointed by God our Father. And so, Saint Joseph truly participated in the redemption of mankind in a manner that none of us can even imagine to. Not to the extent of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but as St. Peter Julian Mod and others point out, after her, St. Joseph truly participates in the mystery of co-redemption in a manner unique to him and to him alone. Indeed, St. Peter Julian Mod goes so far as to say that St. Joseph is closer to the order of the co-redemption than he is to the order of original sin. And so we are confronted with a man whose dignity far exceeds what we can possibly imagine. We are confronted with a man who understood the mystery that was transpiring. We must have none of the blasphemy that would postulate that Saint Joseph suspected the Mother of God of something untoward. It is very clear that Scripture describes him as a just man, and if we could excuse him for not subjecting a woman to being stoned to death in suspecting her of adultery, we cannot say that he was a virtuous man by doing so, because as a just man, he would have been obliged by the law to deliver that woman up to be stoned to death. And so we know that Saint Joseph did not suspect this. He simply knew that he was involved in a mystery that he did not think he was worthy to be involved in. He showed himself truly a humble man, and so he sought to bow out to the mystery because he knew what was transpiring. For Saint Joseph, after Our Lady, understood the Old Testament greater than any of us could possibly imagine. He knew that the Savior of mankind would be born of the Virgin Mary, and when he was confronted with that mystery, he did not think himself possibly worthy to be involved in that mystery in the manner that he was, and so he sought quietly to put his wife away in order to protect that mystery. But he was told by the angel of God that he was to be involved in that mystery in an intimate way and in an intimate fashion. And so he, always following the will of God, accepted his role, and that role is a universal role. That role of Saint Joseph did not end with his departure in this life. It merely only began. For from that time forward until the end of time, he will truly remain the patron and protector of Holy Mother Church and of the family. And that is not the will of Saint Joseph. It is the will of the Mother of God and the will of her Son. And so it must be our will. And so we must turn to him. We must not simply throw a few devotional prayers at Saint Joseph, but we must turn to him in order that he may protect the human family from the assaults of all those who would assail the human family, and ultimately the assaults of the devil himself. For our society is saturated with blasphemies. The latest documentary denies the very fact that at the day of his crucifixion, our Lord entrusted humanity to the Blessed Virgin Mary. They merely postulate the blasphemous notion that he was speaking to Mary Magdalene and that Saint John was his son. And so we must, like Saint Joseph, defend our Lord and our Blessed Mother. For if this is true, then we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we surely die, and there is no hope of salvation if Christ did not entrust all of humanity to the Mother of God at the foot of the cross. There is absolutely, positively no purpose in life and no hope of salvation. And yet, Saint Joseph stands as the one who defends this mystery, and he defends this mystery by not being present at it. For if, as many of the saints point out, he were present at the mystery, he would have he would have been obliged to stand up and take the place of our Lord, because he would have been the successor of King David. He would have been the rightful heir to the throne of David. And so when Saint Joseph was asked to bow out of the mystery, he does so in order to protect the mystery. For everything he did was to protect the Christ child and the Christ child's mother. There was not a thing he did every moment of his life that in some way didn't defend the prerogatives of the virgin whom he prayed for, the virgin whom eventually would become his spouse. There was not a thing he did to defend the prerogatives of the Messiah when he would come. He prayed for the advent of the Messiah, and unbeknownst to him, he would be entrusted with his very care. Not only that, but Saint Joseph would be entrusted in preparing Christ for his sacrifice, as Saint Peter again points out. When he would hand the hammer to Christ in the woodshop, he was hollowing out the hands that would accept the nail for humanity. So it was that Saint Joseph, if we want to use the expression, toughened our Lord up in order that he may undergo that terrible crucifixion for all of humanity. But Saint Joseph also teaches us the dignity of human labor and its supernatural value, not its practical value as the modern world. And so Saint Joseph and our Lord were not involved in producing the baubles of entertainment that our modern society saturated with, that our modern society pursues with maddening course. Saint Joseph and our Lord always produced those things that were for the good of the family and the glory of God. We can only imagine how wonderfully they decorated the synagogue in Nazareth with their fine carpentry work. We can only imagine what they produced for the families in that area. We know from Saint Augustine that our Lord himself built the yokes that the oxen would use in that area, because Saint Augustine was privileged to hold in his hands one of those oxen produced in the carpentry shop of Saint Joseph by the Savior of the world. And so he teaches us that we are not to go about our labors producing the baubles of distraction, but all our labors are to be for the glory of God and for charity towards our neighbor. And so let us turn to him in this day and age, so that he may truly defend the family in so much need of being defended, as it is being so assailed in our modern times. Let us turn to good Saint Joseph, whom Scripture tells us is a just man and who has only one interest. It is the same interest of the Mother of God. It is the same interest of the Son of God, that all humanity come to know and to accept the love of the Son of God and the Mother of God for all of us, so that we may all come under the kingship of Christ the King, and being safe in this life under the paternal protection of Saint Joseph, we may journey to that life that Saint Joseph always had before his mind and his heart, that eternal life that all humanity is called to, that eternal life which the mysteries of salvation open up to us, and which Saint Joseph defended with every fiber of his being.
We are beggarly, most dear.